this seminar. I want to greet all of you affectionately. I'm very excited, really, to be in your midst. This is my third time, I believe, where I visit your community, and as always, on each visit, I'm very, let me say, impressed by what has been created here. It's like a spread out town of Krishna consciousness. Yesterday I visited the school and saw the motto in the school, a lion, and respect, integrity. Oh, Krishna. Four qualities which required lion-like strength. As the motto of that school, I was very, very impressed. And now I see you all and many Prabhupada disciples I see with graying hair. Time is also there. And I'm very honored, really, to address you. Of course, and this leads on to the introduction of this seminar, of course, I'm asking myself, what do I have to give to your community? Is there anything which I could do to contribute to your, to contribute even a little bit to your spiritual growth and your inner strength? See, when a traveling preacher comes to somewhere, he has to ask himself the question, what is it that I have to give that is so important that it justifies the expenses of flying me here and eating the prasadam? You know, what is it that is so, let me say, that is so, valuable, that this effort of coming here, or bringing me here, is well used. And I feel sincerely that I have such a cause. That is, I would love to help you to connect with the source of incredible spiritual strengths and a lot of, let me say, transformative power, which can improve your life and make your life full of divine miracles, really. That's a big claim, I know. But my subject is so wonderful. It is not just reading the Bhagavatam or hearing the Bhagavatam, but it is living the Bhagavatam, bringing the teachings of the Bhagavatam to life in our particular situation. The idea for this seminar, which I'm holding in different variations and versions and lengths and with different styles of teaching all over the world, this idea of giving this seminar was born 2 years ago when I was lucky to attend a meeting at Mayapur where the senior most disciples of Prabhupada who are serving in the GBC and as sannyasis and gurus and spiritual leaders, when they all came together to discuss one burning question. The burning question which pulled us from all over the world to this meeting was, how will the movement which Prabhupada started continue in its purity and its spiritual relevancy into the future, into the far future, even when those who knew Prabhupada directly have long, long, they left the bodies. How will this go on? There were work groups built, and we were discussing back and forth. There were cool words, cold words, and hot words exchanged, as it is known in this meeting. But it was all for this one purpose. How will this movement go on? How will the devotees be nourished in the future? And we came up with three points. And the first, on the first ranking point, the first, let me say, a point which received the greatest emphasis, because it was seen to be very necessary, is we should bring devotees in contact with Prabhupada's books so that they know his spirit, his heartbeat, his vision, and so on. And being a seminar giver who has given many seminars in our movement, mostly related to the holy name, but also to Bhagavatam Katha. We give retreats in Vrindavan. Some of you have visited and know Burijam Prabhu and a few senior devotees. Being, you know, one preacher who is in that type of effort, I crafted a seminar which is not just telling you about the Bhagavatam, but it is telling you how to extract for your life the juice, the nectar, the strength-giving nectar, I should say, from this incarnation of Krishna, this literary incarnation. I think I told my esteemed godbrother Shesha Prabhu yesterday by giving an example, and I feel this is a very relevant example for you to hear. See, we all know that there is sugar in the sugar cane juice, in the sugar cane, not juice, in this plant. We know it is sweet, it is nourishing, it has many minerals, etc. But to have an access to the sugar, to taste it, this knowledge is not enough. You have to either have teeth which can bite through granite, which no one has, you know, and go like the Indians, and crack this wood-like thing open. Or you have to have a machine. Here, you will have to help me with your English skills. It has, what is it? It has these iron things, which grinders is a, for lack of a better word. You put the thing into this two, they're two like two rolls, you know, like chapati rolls. They are there, and then you put your cane inside, and it presses it. I hear the sound in my ears. And then it presses the sugar cane out of this contraption, or it presses the sugar cane, and you have this wonderful juice. It would be wonderful if there wouldn't be so many flies, but I think you can, you could build a mosquito net around this, and then it would be safe to drink. But I'm just giving an example. With the help of the machine, you can extract that which is otherwise unattainable for you. In the same way, with the help of a few simple understandings and methods, you will be able to extract the juice of the Bhagavatam. See, there is one ongoing problem in our spiritual practice. We know that it is nectar, but we don't feel it. Hare Krishna. We hear chanting Hare Krishna. Yes, that is touching Krishna with your tongue. That is one definition of part of chanting. But we only touch our restless mind, and we feel restless after some time. The question which is in this Bhagavatam seminar is, how can I access the nectar so that it's not just a concept, something which is true for me for 1 hour when I hear the Bhagavatam class and I accept it on faith. No, how can this come into my life and change my heart and transform my whole being? This is the idea of this living the Bhagavatam, and I want to request you something which is rare in America to request. I want to request you for a commitment that you come and attend the sessions which will be there as much as you can, because they are sequentially building upon each other, and they bring you at the end to let me use my newest English slang word, American slang word, to a mind-blowing experience. Hare Krishna, I'm trying to learn your language. What I want to express with humor, but with sincerity, I really know from my own life that it is possible to access the Bhagavatam on a deeper level, and in this way get the strength from the Bhagavatam. And I humbly request you, please set the time aside for these sessions. I think there will be our talented announcer has told us what are the timings. Maybe, Manuram, we should put that on a poster so that devotees can see it when the timings are. I know today we start with this class, which has not yet started, by the way. And then we have a workshop at 10:30. In the evening it will be Bhagavad Katha, where we will try to bring the Bhagavatam alive, like a stand-up book. Is it the English word for it? You open it and whoop, you see a picture. It's very enchanting. Good. Are you ready? Good. I would have started anyways. Thank you very much. Let us start. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Adhama Thava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi jana vallabha giri varadani. Gopi jana vallabha giri varadani. Yeah. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Yamuna Tira Vana Chari. Yamuna Tira Vana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Radha, Shama Sundara, Shama Sundara Sri Radhe. Jaya Radha, Shama Sundara Radha, Shama Sundara Sri Radhe. Gaura Prema Nandi Hari 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 Bo. Hare Krishna. I think we have a verse today which we have requested to be projected. Let us see. As I said, in the beginning of this word, Semida, and I would like to reiterate it, the question was, how will this movement go on? And this August assembly in Mayapur identified a devotee should be able to read Prabhupada's books. Now, of all of Prabhupada's writings, he gave prominence to the Bhagavatam. That work, he started to translate this work in India, and throughout his life, this working on the Bhagavatam was always there. He gave a lot of sacrifice to translate it into the English language. Then he collected Lakshmi while he was still without any means and following in India to print it. And then he personally distributed the Srimad Bhagavatam in Delhi. There are many narrations about this which you have heard in previous talented lecturers and so on. And when he went to the USA, it was the Srimad Bhagavatam which he took along with him. To understand how sacred for Srila Prabhupada hold the Bhagavatam and to get a glimpse of the power of the Bhagavatam, we can, for instance, go to his arrival prayers, Makini Bhagavat Dharma, preaching Bhagavad Dham in America. And in these prayers, you will find something, you will be able to look a little bit into Srila Prabhupada's heart. He was driven by a desire to help the conditioned souls rise. He said, all the living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy. And he said, I wish to deliver them. No, he said, I wish that you, Krishna, may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they understand your message. Yeah, Prabhupada had doubts that the Americans would, and for that matter, the world populace, would be understanding the Bhagavatam. I don't know if you know, when he came to America, he thought they're all eating meat there. I don't know what I will eat. So he took 3 bags of cereal with him. You know, how long does 3 bags of cereal last a grown-up person? You know, he did not really know what to expect. He thought this is the jungle here, and so on. So he said, I wish that you may deliver them. If you so desire, they will be able to understand your message. And then he gets right to the point. What is the message? What is the means of deliverance? What will bring these conditioned souls to the level of Krishna consciousness? Listen very carefully. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada continues, are your incarnation, Krishna. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, now you hear submissively, then he will be able to understand your message. So the Bhagavatam is that means which Prabhupada thought this will work for the whole, for America and then the rest of the world. And then he quotes some seed-giving verses of the Bhagavatam. Some of them you will hear in the seminar. It's the verses where the process of spiritual elevation is described right in the beginning, which the Bhagavatam has to offer to the conditioned souls as a means to become delivered from Maya's clutches and then develop Krishna consciousness. In summary, these verses describe that when you hear the narrations of Krishna from the Bhagavatam, then something wonderful will happen. Krishna, who is in your heart, will help you to remove the inauspicious things from the heart, the things which harm us and give us pain. He will himself do the job of our deliverance. That is wonderful. What can we do alone? Oh, Krishna, not much hope for us. We are what we are. And if one is honest, one can see it's not so wonderful when it comes to spiritual development. But if Krishna, the Almighty Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's residing in everyone's heart, purifies that coal mine of the heart, the place, then we stand a chance. And then when Krishna personally takes his seat on the lotus of the heart, just by receiving him through the ear, then this works wonderful. So this is what Prabhupada writes about. You might ask, why is the Bhagavatam so potent? What is working there? What is the active agent, so to say, to to cut the fetters means the bondage of Maya. What is that? Well, you will. This is explained. The Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. In the literary form, God can take many forms. Yes, many forms. There is a shloka in the Padma Purana. I hope that I didn't forget it. Yes, here it is. Pado yadiyo pratama dvitiyo tritiya tuyo katito yad uro, etc. It describes that the first and second canto of the Bhagavatam are Sri Krishna's what? Lotus feet, yes. And then it continues on, the third and fourth cantos are his thighs, the fifth canto is his navel, etc., etc., until it comes to the tenth canto, which is his beautiful face, and as we hear from other scriptures, the description of Krishna's rasa dance is his beautiful smile in the face. It's fully Krishna. It's a description that Krishna, in a spiritual form, is the Bhagavatam. Yeah, this may be, let me say, surprising for you to hear that the Lord can take the form of transcendental sound, as he takes, as he does in the form of his holy name, and then he is not different from the transcendental sound. Therefore, in India, you will see many people who worship the Bhagavatam, just like you worship the deity, who is also Krishna, who takes on a specific form so that he is accessible to us who are covered with a material body and material senses. So the Lord takes many forms, and one is the Bhagavatam. Therefore, the Bhagavatam says like this, this beautiful Bhagavatam, I brought my little orchestra. Listen, it's a beautiful poetry. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity. This Bhagavatam is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? No need. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of the Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within the heart. My dear devotees, I cannot refrain to tell you at this stage a personal experience with the Bhagavatam. I have the habit developed over 20 years and more, to go during the month of Kartik to Vrindavan and exclusively engage in the process of chanting and hearing the holy names. For 1 month, I lock myself. If you go on my internet, you would see a note, automatic message. I'm sorry, I can't receive your message. I'm under a desire tree in Vrindavan, chanting the holy names. No internet connection. So that is my habit since when the world was younger. Long time habit. During one of these Kartik Vratas, I take a vow to chant extra rounds. During one of these, I had an embarrassing problem which I cannot mention to you in the temple room. It needed surgery. It was a very, very, very excruciating, painful problem. They say this is more painful than giving birth to a child. It was really so heavy. I could survive only by making the shoulder stand so that the blood would come away from these painful areas which were affected, and try to chant in the shoulder stand. You know, there's a way you can lean against the wall when it's possible. It was really very bad. And then I noted, I'm not so advanced. The pain is stronger than my ability to listen to the holy name. What do I do now? I don't have faith in Indian hospitals for some reason. I hear it's now better, but I have heard some Westerners had died from infection, so I'm poor, I could not change my ticket, so Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then, my dear devotees, I brought, as it is my habit, I read also different scriptures. During this time, I brought a whole case of bookcase, and I tried to read these exalted descriptions about Krishna consciousness. I couldn't concentrate. Then I found a Bhagavatam in this big book thing, and I started to chant every morning the Bhagavatam, the Sanskrit, and then read the translations and the purports. And I do not really know how it was possible, but somehow, by the power of the Bhagavatam, I could experience that there is life beyond the body. I know no one believes it, but there is life beyond the body. We are not the body, in fact. And maybe you've heard this in some lectures. I will not try to explain it now. We believe we are not the body. We are someone else. It's a foreigner, the body. That's what we hear. We work with the body, yes, but we are an eternal soul. And somehow by reading the Bhagavatam, I could not only theoretically understand there's life beyond the body, I am beyond the body, I could actually experience that when I read the Bhagavatam, this pain went, I mean, I was not aware of it. I concentrated on the subjects of the Bhagavatam. They took me. And you know what was my reaction? I will say it now in American language. Wow! Wow! I didn't believe that this is possible for a conditioned soul. It could only respond with a German word which is equivalent. Mein Gott, we say my God in German when something totally overwhelms us. My God, is it possible? Is it just a dream? And it worked. So I don't know, there must have been some mercy, but I'm personally convinced from this experience. Later I needed to have a surgical surgery. I had it done in a Berlin hospital, the best hospital, because it was so painful I wouldn't allow anyone to even come close with the surgery instrument who was not an expert, because it was so painful. And it needed to be removed, but I could go through my Kartik Vrata by the power of the Bhagavatam, and I cannot forget it. So therefore, I'm here. I am a believer myself from that experience, and I want to now come right into the teachings of the Bhagavatam, which we are supposed to live. It's the verse, this verse, and I would request you to repeat after me. evam vratasva priyanamakirtya. Jatanurago druta citta uchai. Hasatyato roditi roti gayati. Unmada vanrityati lokapaya. I'm supposed to have the verse with my seminar assistants. It's the proper in the book. I'm not so good with computers. Can someone please give me a Chaitanya Charitamrita? It's Adi Lila, 7th chapter, text 94. We will chant until the book comes, the verse. Please go back to the verse. Evam vratasva priyanamakitya. Evam vratasva priyanamakitya. Jatanurago druta citta uchai. Hasatyato roditi roti gayati. Unmada vanrityati lokabaya. Thank you very much. This was chanted by this verse by Ishwarapuri, the spiritual master of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, when he had to do something which we would call in modern language crisis invention. Mahaprabhu had chanted the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and met an unexpected result. He sometimes laughed without an apparent reason. He danced like a madman at times, then cried in abject misery, and he thought, something has gone wrong. Is this normal? Is this good? And he went to Ishwarapuri for confirmation. He said, my dear guru, what kind of mantra have you given me? It's almost like, you know, you go to a pharmacist and he gives you a pill against, let us say, headache, and you take it, and then you dance and chant, you embrace people on the walking way, you cry, you would go back and say, this is normal, what have you given me? Have you given me some ayahuasca pill or something? You know, is this normal? You know, it was a crisis. He felt something was not good. And Ishwarapuri said, very, very good. This is the expected result. This is good. And he explained, what you are experiencing is love of Godhead. You know, we know love for pet animals and when you see your pet animal, you might blush from excitement or some bodily transformations. Or we know human love, with all its shades. We have heard about it. It invokes love. Can invoke a physical reaction. So, but love of Godhead, wow, that's a big doses of love. That has other physical reactions, like crying and dancing. It's an overwhelming experience. So it's very good. It's not mediocre love. It's supreme love. So then he says, saying this, my spiritual master, Gauranga says, taught me one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions. Therefore, he instructed me this verse again and again. Therefore, he instructed me this verse again and again. And here is the verse, the translation. When a person, imagine now, this is what the Bhagavatam considers is the goal of Krishna consciousness. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he's agitated and loudly chants the holy name, Hare Krishna, like this. He also laughs, he cries, he becomes agitated and chants just like a madman, not caring for what the neighbors say. Oh, sorry, just like a madman, not caring for outsiders. No? I'm sorry, I'm... What it means is that here, in chanting the names of the Lord, we become connected with the spiritual energy which has these two aspects, these two currents. Hladini Shakti, the pleasure potency, and Samvit Shakti, the knowledge potency. It's almost when this is the teaching of the Bhagavatam. Chant his name, the holy name of the Lord, chant it properly, that's very important, and then you will actually make a divine experience of Krishna. The Bhagavatam is, it trains us. There is a verse appearing in the second canto which says, be careful, that heart which does not transform on chanting the names of the Lord with concentration, even though there are some ecstatic symptoms like tears which fill the eyes, is made of iron. It says if you don't chant properly, then your heart will not transform. It will remain an iron heart. Iron heart is sometimes good to be strong, but here we want our materialistic heart to melt with Krishna conscious devotion. No? So the process, the chanting must be done in the right process, in the right way. But the essence of the teachings of the Bhagavatam is here, chant the holy name. Prabhupada explains something, how this is the ingression of the spiritual energy when you chant. He said, it is to be understood that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced, he did so by the influence of the pleasure potency of the spiritual world. No, it's not a material phenomena. I don't know about American psychologists, but in Germany and Europe, ecstasy was dealt in the category of schizophrenia. They did 10 years, up till 10 years ago, they didn't understand. Now, this has been abolished, it's no longer scientifically correct. The ecstasy is something absolutely different because it does change the personality, which schizophrenia does not do. That has been measured and found out. Yes, good. Now I must ask a question. You know, I have a lot of notes, but I know time is also there. I have to decide how to conclude this first lecture. I need to ask you the question, how much time do I have, like, when do I come into the red zone, the dark red zone? Orange is still all right, but, you know, when do we absolutely have to stop? Please tell me. Who knows? 9 o'clock. 9! We have time. 9 o'clock. Let me now go on autumn, put my notes down and see how we go from here. Yes, a doubt. This is always good. Maharaji, I'm chanting so many years. I have no ecstasy. It does not work for me. Why this boring class? You say something which is unrelevant for my life. I will not come to your classes any longer. This doubt we have to address. I exaggerate a little for, you know, lightening up the atmosphere. It is a serious doubt. Does the process work after 50 plus years of experimenting with a movement called Hare Krishna movement? Is it working? Do we find ecstatic human beings? Do we find purified human beings? Have our older devotees who started early in this experiment, do they ask them, are you happy and content with your spiritual advancement? Is this working? My dear devotees, this is a question which I could not ignore any longer in my life. It was not working for me. And I had to do a sincere inquiry. I'm in this movement in order to purify my heart and become a devotee of the Lord. And here is the process which I have been given by my exalted spiritual master. Now, how? I need to make it work. I felt like this very strongly, and I had to make an investigation. What is necessary to make it work? Now, the normal understanding is the holy name is like the sun. Krishna is like the sun. But when we commit on our level offenses, then these offenses are like clouds which rise before the sun that we can't see the sun, like on a rainy Florida day. No? I think we are graced by, in our case, it's God. If the sun would be there, it would be too hot. But yes, offenses cover the effect of the holy name and also ignorance. No? Ignorance is like fog and offenses like cloud, which cover this. This is an explanation we have heard multiple times in our lectures. But I would like now to come from another question. How can I make it work? And I would like to go with you to a verse in the seventh canto where it is explained that there must be three things which will make the chanting work. The verse 7:15:42 explains that the mantra is the bow, the living entity, the purified living entity, is the arrow, and the target is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chanting, in other words, is compared with bow shooting. Who of you has had lessons in shooting with a long bow? That's the bow which Robin Hood used in England. Not so many, you're not so from Europe. You, long bow. I took instructions, brother of the bow. I took instructions from a master in this, and he said to me on the first lesson, He said like this, bind my eyes. So I was binding his eyes, and he was shooting, and now he was aiming his arrow. I mean, he put the arrow on the longbow. It's a real long one. The Mongolians used short bows, by the way. And he was pulling it back and missed the goal by 10 meters. And he took the blindfold up and said, what's the point here? And I said, you're not as good as you wanted to demonstrate. He said, no. He laughed. When I'm blind, I can't take aim. The first lesson is take aim. Bring your whole attention on the target. Then, when you chant, the bow will hit. I'll show you. When he did the second shot, and it went into the middle. Are you taking aim when you're chanting a holy name? Are you directing your attention to the Lord, to Radha and Krishna? This is very, very important. As in Prabhupada writes, as an arrow is aimed at a target and then shot from the bow, the purified living entity is aimed at the Lord's lotus feet and then transported by the power of the bow to its target. Take aim. Why are you sitting there? Are you sitting out of duty to chant your number X numbers of rounds so that you have the psychological well-being of being righteous to your commitments? No, it's a devotional thing. I like to always turn to Krishna with this verse. It says, one is immediately freed. One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, my dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for my 40 years of Krishna consciousness, I'm somehow too less sleepy here. My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I'm surrendering unto you. I'm your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. The chanting must be aimed at Krishna's, for Krishna's pleasure. Very important. That's the first lesson from this wonderful 7:15:42. Take aim at the lotus feet of the Lord. Then you must, of course, make an effort to pull the string. Prabhupada said, you have to chant and hear. You have to chant with your tongue and hear the sound. That's all. And he talks about attention, attention, attention. Chant and hear. Not chant and think of your new investment in a new car or of what went wrong on the internet. So on. Chant and hear. That effort of bringing your rapt attention, that's another word we often hear. That is the effort you must do. And finally, teaches us at one stage, you have to let go. Let the bow do everything, otherwise the arrow will not reach. In other words, you have to let go when you chant. Surrender to Krishna. Then the mantra can do everything. Do you know, there is a very interesting and it's an awakening call, really, in by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He asks us a question: whose prayer does Krishna, the son of Nanda, hear? Aha! It seems he doesn't hear all prayers. I thought he hear. No, here there's a question: whose prayer does Krishna hear? And then he gives the answer: the prayer of one who submits unconditionally to the sixfold path of surrender. Sri Nanda Kumar, Krishna, hears the prayers of those persons. Three steps. First step: when you sit down, know that your life, old life, sits down next to you. You have to make the decision. Will you think about what is going on in your life at the moment? Or will you turn your attention, now this is not about my life, my old life, I will now target, I will take my aim, Krishna. You might do so by putting a picture in front of you, by praying some conducive prayers, by sitting before the deity, or by mentally telling you, I'm now turning to you, my Lord. Second step: make an effort. Here, bring your mind back. Practice some mindful chanting, you know. Be in the present while you chant. I'm chanting now, that is, the chanting is what is going on. Third step: surrender, let go. Let even go of techniques or methods. Just, how to express in English language? English language is very limited, and so is German language. But we have our hands. Krishna, I'm yours. I have actually forgotten you, and this is very unconducive to my spiritual life. It is so many problems. My life is so complicated, but now I'm at least trying to surrender to you. And then something will come. Some first-class response and reciprocation will come. For every Hare Krishna, the Lord will say 10 times, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And then something will happen in the life. This is the essence of the Bhagavatam's teachings. We have to take it serious. This appears in our Granthas. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ishwarapuri is telling this. It's not that some modern person tells it. This is the essence of the whole process. Good. 9 o'clock has arrived. Thank you for being so patient to listen through my English Kauderwelsch, we say, mumble jumble. It is not correct English. Many grammatical mistakes are there. Thank you very much. We will commence. We will come together at 10:30. I will then give space for questions and answers. This is no time is available now. And there, we will learn three instructions how to read the Bhagavatam. From the Bhagavatam itself, it is a verse which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has often quoted. And with the help of these three instructions, you will see miracles unfold as you access the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Radha Shyam Sunda ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna.